Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we begin our time of worship, I do want to remind our ministry teams and our ministry team leaders that this afternoon at 4 o'clock, we will have our first church council meeting for the new year. Encourage all ministry teams to be represented. Ministry team leaders, if you're unable to make it, if you could have someone from your ministry team to meet upstairs at 4 o'clock for our church council meeting. You'll notice in your bulletins on the salmon-colored sheet other important ministry details in the life of our church coming up the next couple weeks. Encourage you to look at those, see where you can fit in, and serve God. We gather here to worship. It is a service to our Lord and Savior. May we lift up praise and worship to Him this day.
I want to extend a warm welcome from First Baptist Church of Elon to each of you who are here today, perhaps as visitors or guests. We are so delighted that you've been led of the Lord to come and worship with us, and we ask you to participate fully in your spirit and open your heart to the message through song and word as we attempt to minister together. Let us pray. Father, we invoke your blessings upon this worship today, and we invite you into the presence of this church, that we might truly lift you up in spirit and in word and deed. Thank you, God, for the freedom that we have to worship as we please in this country, and that we choose to spend this time, Lord, not because we have to, but because we want to be with you. We want to commune with you. We want to feel your presence. We want to exhort one another. We want to build one another up in the faith. And God, we thank you so much for that. We thank you for now this day of opportunity to ordain and set one aside for the cause of the work of Christ, a deacon, one who will serve diligently for your purpose and your plan in our lives. We thank you for the commitment of this young lady who's come forward to serve in that position. And we ask now, Lord, that you bless our worship together. And you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. Please stand for our songs of worship and praise. We have two, Here I Am to Worship and Lord, I Lift Your Name on High.
That pain is hard on adoring, oh God.
This morning in our time of worship, and as we begin a year of prayer during our prayer revolution, this morning our focus is on our deacon ministry here at First Baptist Elon. We have faithful deacons who seek to serve the body of Christ, and that is what a deacon is set aside for. And today, as we set aside another deacon, Amy Harrison, we look forward for her using her spiritual gifts in the ministry here at First Baptist Elon. I ask that you pray this morning for our deacons as they seek to lead, as they seek to serve, and as they seek a time of transition, as we seek to honor God through our service. Each one of us are gifted with gifts that are beyond our own comparison and beyond our own description that God has blessed us with. As we seek to use those gifts, as our deacons do on a weekly basis, we seek to honor Him. If you would, this morning, go with me into a time of prayer as we pray for our deacon ministry. Father God, I am just honored and blessed to serve in a congregation where our deacons step up and they seek to serve you. Father God, you set aside deacons within our midst to serve the body. That's what the initial deacons were for, and that's what our deacons are for. Father God, I'm thankful for each man and woman who have served as deacons in the past, who are serving in the present, and those that will be called into the future. Because, Father God, you seek and set apart. Father God, I am thankful for the ministry that they provide to our congregation. And I know at this time, as they seek to restructure and look at how they can best use the gifts that you have blessed them with, I ask that you be with them as they seek to train and to serve. And Father God, to honor you. Father, this morning especially, I lift up Amy Harrison to you as she comes to answer that call to being a deacon. Father, may you inspire her, illuminate her with the gifts that you have blessed her with, and allow her to serve this body of Christ. Father God, this morning I lift up our deacon body, our deacon ministry, as they seek to serve and honor you, and may we serve and honor them as well. We are a blessed congregation for being led and being served by the deacon ministry. Father God, I lift those individuals up to you this day who have been set apart, who have felt the call. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand for the offertory hymn. It's in your hymn book. It's number 334, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
May we pray. Father God, as we come to this time of worship where we set aside our offerings, what we are willing and able to give to you, Father, we just ask special blessings upon those offerings. Father God, whether they're something we place in the offering plate or they're a commitment we make with our hearts and our bodies, Father God, may we ask that it be pleasing to you. Father God, use these offerings to serve your kingdom. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Peace for them, my land will save.
It is so good to be with you this morning, and especially on this Sunday, for we set aside a young lady to the service of the diaconate here in this church. I don't know of any charge that's any more important than that of the deacon in the life of the church. Yes, we need pastors to give us some direction, spiritually guide us, and to be a mentor for others. But without the diaconate, a lot of the work of the church just would not get done. The standard joke among preachers, however, is that if the preacher's kids are bad, it's because they hung out with the deacon's kids. I'm sorry, David, I didn't mean to get you in trouble there. That may or may not be funny. So as it begins today, we look at what it means to ordain and set aside someone to the service of God. If I'm not mistaken, this church, as should all the rest, claim that every member should be a minister. We're all ministers to someone, whether it's our own family, our neighbors, our friends down the road, our co-workers at work, our bosses, or just the entire world, as it were. We're all called to be ministers. But this word deacon has about it a special sense of service. It can be interpreted as a slave, a servant, a minister, or simply one who serves others. These definitions come from that Greek word diakonos. In this early time frame, the deacons literally met nearly every day to try to decide how to make the church work. We'll get to the reason they were initially set aside in a few moments, but until then, I'd like to point out some early writers in the Christian faith to you. One was Justin Martyr, and another that I particularly like to read is Clement of Rome. They both wrote prolifically. They described the deacons as ones who were to inform the pastor of the people's needs, to control disorderly conduct in the worship services, to report to the congregation on those who were sick and needed help, and to offer themselves as ministers to the church. This is directly from some quotes out of the writings of those two famous early church members. The responsibilities of deacons include such things as the requirement to be spirit-filled and to lead by example. I don't think you can call yourself a deacon unless you first call Jesus Lord, and I'll get to that in just a moment. The deacon should practice their faith regularly by reading and study of the Bible and by participation in worship as they're able. The deacon should participate in the support of the church with prayer and witnessing and tithing It's not that you are elected to an office so that you don't participate fully, but quite frankly, you participate in every fashion of the work. Whatever is expected of the church and of the pastor, the deacon should likewise be responsible. Another point I would say to you is that the deacon should always be about the business of assisting the pastors of the church and not feel as though they're the pastor's supervisors. To this end, deacons should try to guard the pastor's time and reputation. Without the pastor's support by the deacons, they can suffer many slings and arrows. I'm thankful for godly deacons in the past 34 years that I've come in contact with. And I've been so graciously, wonderfully amazed at how God has continued that tradition here in this church. I believe deacons should assist in worship from time to time and perhaps even lead in worship as the Lord calls them. And that I believe also they're to specifically, as charged in the text of Scripture, to offer the elements of the Lord's Supper to the infirm and prepare for the Lord's Supper in a corporate setting, as well as that other standard bearer of the church, the ordinance of baptism. Under this umbrella of what we call our church body and all of its needs, the deacon should make sure that the temporal needs of the church, making sure the heat works, making sure the building is not falling down, making sure the water runs, those kind of things, those temporary things that one day will all pass away. But as well, they should tend to the eternal things, the spiritual things of the church. Under that care, I believe the deacon should minister to the pastors and their families. It's important for the pastors to know that someone is praying for them and lifting them up on a regular basis. I'd share some scripture with you now, taken from Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 27. And I share it, and it's a fairly long passage, but mainly I share it because it brings about how much diversity there is in the early church and how God is using nearly everyone in the church to perform some function in service to the Lord. And it begins this way, Romans 16, verse 1. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews, who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, these women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me, too. Greet Asyncritus, Philegion, Hermas, Petrobus, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss, and all the churches of Christ sends greetings. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teachings you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Timothy, my co-worker, sends his greetings to you, as do Lucius, Jason, Sosipater, my fellow Jews. I, Tertius, wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, send you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works in our brother Quartus, send you greetings. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ in keeping with the revelation of the mystery of for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to go back and point out just a couple of things from this passage of Scripture. First of all, Phoebe is a deacon. And that's not deacon in the sense of a deaconess. The title is given in the masculine form, meaning she has the office of deacon. I believe that God has set aside all people to work in all ways to serve the Lord. There are some who still argue over this and will take you to some other writings in the Scripture, which I don't deny. But I say to you, as the church began to grow, they needed every able-bodied person to stand for the cause of Christ. I also want you to know that there are co-workers that Paul mentions here that are important in Christ that are also women. And those who work very hard for the gospel's cause are often mentioned many times over. There are many women in this passage. And yet, I'm thankful that this church has moved beyond the gender bias that some churches still prefer. I say this because I applaud you. Finding God's grace and mercy in people is what it's all about. But it brings me down now to the charge that I would lay before us for our candidate today. Amy, first of all, I believe deacons are to love Christ, to love Jesus. In fact, if we expect you to show your love for Jesus that much, we expect you to strive every day to be like him. I remember reading about one of our great missionaries early in the Southern Baptist movement, which later became the Southern Baptist movement, Adoniram Judson. The reporters approached him one day, and they said that people were beginning to compare him to the Apostle Paul. And he said, "Oh, if that be the case, I am truly sorry that that is being said. I don't want to be like Paul. I want to be like Jesus." If you have a model, if you have an example that you want to follow, follow Jesus. People are good. When they're saved, they're much better. And I can tell you right now, they still come with foibles and difficulties in their life. We're none perfect. The Bible says there is none perfect, no, not one. That includes your pastors, your deacons, your teachers, the choir members, the choir leaders. We're none perfect. But we have one we can follow who is. The church needs you to have Judson's mindset, Amy, because to fulfill your calls as a deacon, you will need to be like Jesus. You will need to strive every day for the spiritual maturity and the Christian Christ-likeness that comes with that calling. So I encourage you to arrange your life around those goals. Devote yourself to daily prayer and Bible study, to public and private worship. As Paul says in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Oh, if we would all pursue those things together, what a glorious church we would have. I don't think Elon falls very short from that. I think, if anything, this is a wonderful church. But quite frankly, it does not stop there. If the deacon is to continue to grow in Christ-likeness, they need to be spiritually strong. You're given a job that is impossible to do without God. You will never fulfill it in your own strength. You see, the years to come, you'll be lifted up as an example. I'll guarantee you that everybody in this church, if you have the name title in front of you, deacon, they will hold you to a different standard. You will have others who will not only set you up as an example, but they'll say, I will follow that deacon. They set an example for me. And you certainly will. You'll be called to help the hurting. You'll be called to minister to the sick and to counsel those who need direction in life. What I've discovered as a minister, sometimes I'm helping someone and I'm struggling with the same issue myself. I am struggling with the very issue. And I have to say, oh God, please help me. Please. Because I'm working through it myself. You may have to explain that to somebody, that you don't have all the answers, but you know the one who does. In fact, I would say to you that you're being charged with supernatural tasks, things that will be impossible for you to complete in your own strength. Let me put this another way. You can be no more effective as a deacon on your own than Peter was trying to walk water on his own. Remember what he had to do? He had to lift his eyes off the water and look at Jesus. The deacon has to do the same thing. As a pastor of over 30 years, I can tell you the times that I have fallen flat on my face where I tried to do it in my own strength. You're going to find that God loves to help people who often fail. I have learned more from my failures than I did from the things I got right. I have learned to be patient with myself and to be kind and generous toward other people as they struggle with some of the same issues that I have struggled with. It is only through those times where we can be honest with ourselves that God does His best work. As a matter of fact, I am more interested in you being a deacon than doing the work of the deacon. Because if you're not first a deacon by being there with God, then perhaps you will miss the mark thinking it is just a number of chores you have to get done, when in reality it's not. My second charge picks up on the same idea of being. And it is to never forget that your first example comes from your practice of your faith in your own home. It's hard to be a deacon to the rest of the church if you can't be a deacon in your own home. You must first practice those things that are required of you by the church in your own private world, where not everybody sees what you're doing. It's there the real reality of who we are comes to the forefront. It's there that we begin to practice the reality of God's love and grace. Yes, patience and persistence and the courage to continue to deal with those issues that all of us do. My grandmother used to say, some people just have a better way of covering it up than others. It took me a number of years to figure that out. Since we believe that God was the originator of the family, it should encourage us to see the importance of the deacon's role in support of their own families. We're directed to understand that deacons' first attempts at leadership and care and teaching and ministry all begin in the home. If we can't do it there, we can't adequately do it elsewhere. Billy Sunday was a great evangelist back at the turn of the last century. He was noted for winning thousands to Christ, and he had five sons. He was never home. And all five sons became alcoholics. He was never there to give them the encouragement that he needed in order for them to develop properly. Amy, I'm going to challenge you with this, because there will be more to do than you can ever get done as a deacon. Be sure to minister first to your family. That's going to be important. So, like my first charge to love Jesus, my second charge is to love your family and your home. The third thing I would ask that you consider is the charge to love God's church. We expect you to love and to cherish this Elon family of Christians here that worship at First Baptist in Elon. So much as a deacon that you strive to keep this church healthy and strong. That means interjecting yourself sometimes into situations that maybe you might shy away from, because you're willing to trust that God's wisdom is greater than your own. You may recall the book of Acts tells us that the incident in the early church that led to the formation of this body we call now the deacons was in the first place because of the absence of unity in the church. There had become disruption and division in the church over who should minister to who. As a matter of fact, it was caused by the Grecian widows complaining and grumbling that they were being overlooked and even shortchanged in the daily distribution of food. Now, folks, we don't know what that means here in America for the most part. But in the day and time this was written and the description of the book of Acts, getting food was very difficult. There wasn't a lot to go around. And the church's role was extremely important in making sure that people just had a little bit to eat every day. And so this discussion came up, and God's answer was to offer the office of deacon to the church. That's how the deacons got started, over a controversy that God wanted settled, and he wanted the ministry to go forward. Deacons, if you've ever served or are currently serving, I honor you. You're so vitally important to the work and the life of this church. I can't tell you in my own heart how many times I have depended on my deacons to help me, and it came through because they were serving God, not just me or the church. And yet I tell you that if you're going to love the church, it must be a mandatory requirement. I don't know about you, but I go back to the venue of the family for a moment. I have four children. They are all beautiful. They're all wonderful. And yes, they did play with the deacon's kids. But I can tell you, none of them is perfect. Now, some of my grandchildren I might have to argue with. I have eight grandchildren. But I can tell you firsthand that you will have occasions where you deal with less than perfect people. And you must remember that God loved them enough to die on that cross for every one of them. I have a saying, I don't give up on anybody. It doesn't matter who they are or where they are or what they're doing. And Amy, I would like for you to take that charge very seriously, that you just don't quit, because you know God's got a purpose. He didn't put people into the church by accident. He brought them here for the purpose of presenting his son as Savior and Redeemer of a world, and we can't do it if we're fighting among ourselves. And so the deacon's role oftentimes is that of peacemaker. As a matter of fact, in my years as a pastor, I've come to believe that sometimes quarreling and grumbling and complaining are the tools that the devil loves best. The truth is that when a person becomes a deacon or a pastor for that matter, they forfeit the right to promote division in the church. They have to give it up completely. Whether they're on one side, whether they personally feel one way or the other, they have to give it up for the unity and the peace that comes when people work together. So, the scripture says in another place, we must have harmony and peace if we're to know and honor Christ. It is in times like that that the deacon should remind the church that the Bible teaches the peace of Christ is to rule in our hearts. Since as members of one body, we're called to be people of peace. And finally, I would say to you, you're going to be given charge of families in the church. You can't serve them if you don't love them. I don't know about you, but in our church, there was a randomness about that. We often shifted it so that different deacons would get different people. But I have learned by watching the examples of others that it takes patience and trust in God to worship and lead and minister to people. And so I would encourage you in your own self-study to watch the examples of others that you admire. There are people in this church that have been deacon before you, and I would ask you to look at them. I'd ask you to look at some of your pastors, if not all of them. I would ask you to continue to study your Bible, but all of it for the purpose of serving the people that God has entrusted into your care. There's an old hymn by Charles Wesley, and it goes something like this. A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never-dying soul to save, and fit it for the sky. to serve the present age my calling to fulfill. Oh, may it all my powers engage my calling to fulfill. Arm me with watchful care as in thy sight to live. And now, thy servant, Lord, prepare a strict account to give. Help me to watch and pray and still on thee rely. Oh, let me not thy trust betray, but press to realms on high. I don't want to overload your plate, but I do want to say this to you from a personal point of view. There are times I felt like the biggest failure in the world as a pastor. Not because I didn't try, but because I wasn't quite sure what God wanted me to do. And it was at those moments that God took me to my knees and I had to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And then I recalled reading in the scripture where Jesus, facing the cross, said the same thing. Father, not my will, but your will be done. And there may be times as a deacon, because you'll meet challenges and difficulties. There'll be moments of joy and peace and celebration, but there'll also be times that will cause you to question some things. And I challenge you at that time to trust your God even more. With that, I ask you to join me in prayer. Father God, thank you for this service today. Thank you for this wonderful candidate who's come forward. Bless her. Give her the strength and courage and wisdom that she'll need in order to perform the duties that you've called her to celebrate. Help us, Lord, as a church to be what you'd have us to be. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. We will begin the act of ordination, and I will read to you the charge directly. The office of deacon is generally considered to have originated in the election of the seven as helpers to the Apostle Paul's, as recorded in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. The term deacon is a New Testament word meaning servant, and the servant demonstrates their leadership by example. Ordination means the act of election or appointing to a duty. We come now to ordain Amy Harrison to the duty of deacon in the First Baptist Church of Elon as she continues to strive to be a faithful servant of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amy, I'll ask you to stand. Do you promise to strive to live your life that you may honor Christ? And do you promise in the presence of God and this body of believers to accept the responsibilities of deacon in this church, and to the best of your ability to put your faith to work as a servant of Jesus Christ? Let us pray. Father God, this morning I place Amy Harrison into your hands, accepting the call, accepting the role of being a deacon here at First Baptist Church of Elon. Father God, you have blessed Amy with so many numerous gifts, so many gifts that she has used in serving here in this congregation and in our community. And I look forward to seeing how you will continue to use her as a deacon here at First Baptist Elon. May you make her aware of gifts that she has that maybe she doesn't recognize yet. May you challenge her to go beyond just what is expected to serve you, to honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father God, I just place Amy in your hands this day as one who has been set aside at First Baptist Church of Elon to be a deacon. I place her in your hands. Amen.
Church, I have a charge for you. I would ask you, as the members of First Baptist Church of Elon, to acknowledge Amy Harrison as a deacon in this church. And do you further promise to encourage and pray for her in her ministry and to cooperate with her in the fulfillment of the mission of this church? If you do, will you do so and indicate it by standing? The laying on of hands will occur with the ordained staff of the church, followed by the deacons, and we'll gather on this side. We'll gather on this side over here.
Congregation may be seated. An usher will guide you row by row as time comes, but first let our ordained staff and our deacons, past or present, come forward at this time.
Please stand for our closing hymn. It's number 390. We'll sing the first and second verses. We are called to be God's people.